going to be one of those nights, isn't it?
It's always one of those nights, Jenna. That's because this is the Apropos of Nothing podcast, which is people should buckle up for.
With your host,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna.
Jesus.
God. Here we've had episodes where again.
Salsa completely missed the opening, and that was still somehow better. Oh, than that like road hazard that just
hey
occurred.
Guys, are you ready for fuckery and depression? Let's do yep. this shit.
That should be a catchphrase.
Fuckery and
hey,
depression.
Hey fucker, are you ready for what was it?
Fuckery and
fuckery
depression.
Fuckery and depression.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, hey, bitches. You don't want to say, hey,
that's,
fucker.
That's why I
are
was,
you ready for fuckery?
That's why I hesitated, because it was
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or assholes. Assholes is good.
We need pretty drinks. I have a drink.
Yeah? What are you drinking?
I'm drinking mead.
Weird. Where'd you get it?
Made it.
The blood and sweat of his own two hands.
You know how
ew,
I
most
said...
Most people use honey.
You know how I said that... Yeah, but I'm so sweet.
Oh, sweetie.
you know how I said
like,
that
I know
this...
I call you sweetie, but...
You know how this mead, I had said previously that the taste was really good, but the smell was kind of funky? As time is going on, the smell is dissipating.
Ooh!
It is.
So, the taste is still good, however, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Like okay. A fart in an ice fishing house.
Why, James? Why?
Not
why?
Dissipating, but the taste is still there.
James, what are you drinking?
I mean, a fart can
is it
only
ice house
really
fart?
Make an ice house smell better.
That should be my nickname for natural ice. For opening
ice house farts. There you go.
Ice house farts.
Oh, cinnamon rolls.
Yeah.
There you go.
I've got a hot toddy.
Oh, I'm jealous.
Seems correct. For the
very nice.
In a seasonal mug, it looks
indeed.
Well
yeah.
Done.
A little Zelda Christmas mug.
Oh my god, that's way more adorable than I thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look at you. That is the most James thing to ever James. You James good.
Like
good job, James.
Yeah, thank
good
you.
Good job doing yourself.
Hey, good job on being you.
Mm-hmm. I have less practice at that.
I'm having a doctor fix it because I'm in a mood,
yeah.
Well and I'm done. Hoping it'll fix it.
Well done.
Fair enough.
Oh, what the hell have you assholes been up to?
So much.
Well, then tell us about it.
No, James is just going to wait until we, you know, ask questions instead of just fucking getting to the point.
Oh.
No, I,
That's so out of character for
I know,
him.
Right?
Hmm.
The company gave us Thursday and Friday off, so I also took Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday because no one else did. And so last week was trying to get absolutely fucking every last thing wrapped up with a bow on it in time to set it aside or mark it resolved before I left for a week at the end of the month. I will have one day left of the month in which to ensure that all of my monthly projects have been completed. So there was a bit of a rush. And so there's that. And then I took this last weekend and I took today to begin doing all of the small cleaning and projects and everything else that I've been setting aside, building a threshold for the front door, cleaning out closets and, you know, getting things sorted and fixed and all of that stuff, which is pretty great, but it's also been, it's been stressful, but there's a feeling of accomplishment for this, you know? So.
No, I get that.
So there's that.
It's nice to have feelings of accomplishment in the year 2020. Well done. Right.
It's not something I'm used to ever, so this... it's really, you know, it's nice. It is. Yeah, I also I completed the scarf that I've been working on during these episodes.
Is it an episodic scarf?
Sort of.
Ooh.
Sort of. It has through lines and arcs and all of that stuff too. Yeah. And it's in series. So the I have just been trying to remember what relaxation looks like, and Bryn very helpfully was like, "Oh, you should set this time aside today for self-care. You know, pick a time. When are you doing that today to stop doing what you're doing and to make that happen?" I was like, "I don't have any idea how to accomplish that self-care thing that you're talking about."
Right.
I'll have to Google it.
Did you Google it? I want to know. God damn it.
Same. I know. It's such a letdown.
That's
I should
disappointing.
Have.
You should have Googled self-care.
Mm-hmm.
How to self-care.
I don't know. But seeing the place come together and become even more home-like and cozy is really encouraging.
Mm.
So, yeah. So there's all of that. Yeah. And I think Bryn just watched the episode for the first time, the Star Trek episode that you always refer to, when you say there are four lights.
Yes.
Yeah, we just saw that episode.
Oh, Jessa just saw that episode recently too.
So then after that, we had to watch, early middle Steven Universe to try to ramp down a little back into feeling like human beings again.
Yep.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. But it's a very good episode. It's a very powerful episode.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So there's that. What the fuck have others been up to?
Working in the wood shop.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, have we talked about this on the podcast?
That you have a lathe?
Doing more craft. Well, no, that I'm doing more crafty things just in general.
Kind of.
Specifically creating physical things. Seemed like.
Say more.
It seemed like a thing that, you know, more than one person is doing in this time of lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been doing.
Whoa.
Yeah, I've been doing crafty things for decades. And so I have a lot of various skills that have just kind of been sitting around not being used. I've got the lathe, and I got a new workbench for the lathe. Because before, I had the lathe sitting on top of our pop-up camper in the garage.
Oh, sure.
And every time I wanted to use it, I had to back my wife's car out of the garage, set up some sawhorses, you know, clamp the lathe to the sawhorses, do whatever I wanted to do. When I was done, clean up, put the lathe back on the pop-up camper, move the sawhorses, and then put my wife's car back in the garage. It was a mess. It was a process. Now I have a workbench in the garage.
Nice. That must be a tremendous relief.
It is. The lathe is bolted to the top. It's mm-hmm. stationary. It's there. I don't even need to move the car anymore. I walk into the, I rearrange some things in the garage. I just walk in there and I can do things and walk out. We're getting into winter, you know, and so it was like light disappears at 5:30.
Whoa, yeah.
So it was like I was getting done with work, and then like immediately trying to go outside and get something done before the light was gone, you know, mm-hmm. which is the time of day that my kids are awake,
right?
You know,
right?
And so my wife yeah. and I, we had a conversation, and my wife was like, you know, I don't want you to not do this because it's, you know, bringing mm-hmm. you joy and it's making you a, you know, happy person. And but she's just mm-hmm. like, you know, like the thing she does to unwind at the end of the day after the kids go to bed is she can sit in front of the TV and knit or crochet or cross stitch or mm-hmm. whatever it is that she's feeling, you know. She can sit there and do it in the living room. And I was like, well, I don't really, I can't really do that, you know.
Right.
it's a slightly less living room friendly.
I was going to say, your crafts are less travel sized.
Well, also. except, I remembered that something that I have done in the past is chainmail.
Mm-hmm.
And chainmailing right. is something that can be done in front of the TV. In the
it is travel size.
Exactly. So I was like, okay. So I dug through my stuff and I pulled out my old chain mailing stuff. And mm-hmm. and there was a bunch of, like, I had old beads and you know, the little crafting pliers and various bits and bobs and the little fish hook earring things and stuff like that. And I had some silver links. Years ago, you know, 15 years ago, probably at this point, I was commissioned by a friend and to do a silver bracelet for her, because she had metal allergies, and silver was the only
sure.
thing. That she, so I bought the silver, and you know, and I had some links left over, not many, not enough to do another bracelet or anything, but I was like, I could knock out a couple earrings with these, and I did. I knocked out 4 pairs of simple earrings. With those, and I had like a necklace that I made 15 years ago that has just been sitting in a bag. So I was like, you know what? I should do something with this stuff instead of just letting it sit and molder in a bag. So mm-hmm. I created Sterling Craft. And Sterling Craft is my craft store, if you will. I didn't want it to
Where'd you get the name?
I didn't want it to be a business, because I don't want to.
Right.
You know, if you have a business, then you have like you have to make sure you have stock, and you have to, you mm-hmm. know,
yeah.
You know, people want things from you, and that's not what I wanted to do. What I wanted to do was make stuff when. And what I felt like making, because mm-hmm. making things brings me joy. You know, I mm-hmm. put a lot of pride and love and passion into making things, but then I've got these things, you know, that, and sometimes I can definitely use them, you know, but sometimes I just make them for the sake of making it, and then I've got a thing. That sure. sits in a box for 15 years. And I was like, this shall not stand. So I created Sterling Craft. And Sterling Craft is basically mm-hmm. all of the stuff that I have made that I don't need.
Fair enough.
And it might as well go to a good home. So yeah. I'm selling some stuff. There's not much on there. The necklace is on there. And the earrings mm-hmm. that I made are currently on that site. I've got some stuff that is currently getting it's drying. The second coat is drying. A third coat of finish will be going on it soon. And there's some wood stuff that will be going on there at some point. I'm making fun little crafts, but it's little things that bring me joy and make me happy. But I don't have a use for. So you should check that out.
Yeah.
You should post a link.
I'm going to do that too. but the other thing was then we also bought shop lights.
Good
for
yeah.
So that if I do want to head out to the lathe, I can do that even nice. When the kids are in bed.
Mm-hmm.
And just like I said, because I don't have to back out the car or anything like that, I can just close the garage door, and it's not too mm-hmm. loud. I won't be disturbing the neighbors or anything like that late at night. So. You know, a little bit of, and I mean, I can only do that for so much longer, though. Even though it is, you know, I do have lights out there, it is going to get colder. You know, and that.
Jenna,
that,
do we have an over under on him installing an air conditioner and a heater?
No.
He's not going to install a heater. He will install an air conditioner probably in June.
No. See, the thing is I've already discussed with my wife about possibly just putting like a space heater in there, and she's like, "But with sawdust, I'm not comfortable with that."
Mm.
And that's
that's fair.
A pretty good point. So, you know, I'll be doing some wood turning here for another probably month or so before it gets to be too cold. But then then I'll have I kind of took what I had from the chain mailing stuff that I had from 20 years ago, and I just kind of tossed out anything that I didn't know what it was, or, you know, was kind of, I kept anything that was useful, but like the rest of the metal loops that I had, I don't know what kind of metal they are or anything anymore. So I just tossed them, and I ordered some stainless steel online. So I'm going to start over and do stainless, because I think it was galvanized steel I was using last time around, and that isn't the best for jewelry. I didn't know what I was doing 15 years ago, so. But I'm kind of starting over.
Do you now?
But I have all of the tools. I have all the tools, and I have all the knowledge, you know. So this, all I really needed was a new stock of supplies to start, you know. Mm-hmm. And so now, you know, in the evenings while my wife and I are watching Taskmaster, she can be doing her crocheting, and I can be doing my chain mailing.
Salsa.
Yes.
Salsa.
Yes.
How have you never told me about Taskmaster before?
We talked about it on this podcast just a few weeks ago.
You monster.
And then earlier before that. No, Jessa finally got me to watch some Taskmaster. Because I don't, like, seek things out, right? Like, I don't...
Sure.
I watch what people put in front of my face.
Sure.
And so Jessa was like, "Hey, Mom, you need to watch this." And I was like, "Oh, this is what Salsa was talking about. Yeah, this is kind of good. I'm enjoying this." Uh-huh. Like, one specific was like hide and seek.
Yes.
They just played hide and seek. And it was hilarious. It was so good. I never knew hide and seek could be so funny.
Your time starts now.
Anyway, your time starts now. Shit. Anyway.
No, it's great.
I'm just mad at you for not bringing it up earlier, Salsa.
Yeah. What the hell? You'd think that would be exactly his jam, too. That
right? Yeah, you'd think he'd
want
be all
us
about
to
that.
Know. Mm-hmm. Like, he usually can't shut up about British quiz shows and game shows.
Right?
I'm
disappointed.
Yeah.
The look on your face right now.
I
almost feel shamed.
No.
You're giving me this bad look.
I feel like right now I'm experiencing what women go through in meetings when they have a great idea, and then Jessa is the man who suddenly had a great idea, you guys. Like that's kind of the emotion I have right now.
That is almost exactly what just happened. Yes. Yes, welcome to what my world is like on a daily basis. Awesome.
And then my son lost a tooth.
Yay!
And this I've got a very specific reason for telling the story. So son, he's had a loose tooth for a few weeks now, and the past few nights he's been coming to me like, "Hey, can it come out now?" And I've been trying to pull it out. And my kids, by the way, super brave. Like, I was not this good around teeth. Like, they can't sit still if you're pulling a splinter out of their finger. They freak out. But pulling teeth out of their face, they're just like, "Get this thing out of me." And I'm just like, "Okay." Rock stars.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, so a few nights in a row, it was like, "It's not quite coming." And then Sunday night, it's like, "Get this thing out of my face." So I was like, "Okay, yank it out." Awesome. Now, here's the thing that we started doing a few missing teeth ago. One night, my daughter lost a tooth, stuck the tooth under under her pillow, and my wife and I promptly forgot.
Yeah.
Yep.
Woke up the next morning, the tooth is still there. We're like, fuck, shit, what do we do? Thankfully, it was like a snowstorm, and so we put a note in the mailbox from the Tooth Fairy saying that, due to the storm, the Tooth Fairy couldn't come, but the Tooth Fairy is currently at Santa's house until the storm blows over, and will come. And my daughter thought, was just tickled pink that this was a thing that happened. And then the next night, like, in the envelope in the mailbox was her, you know, golden little coin, dollar coin.
Yeah.
So flash forward to my son's first tooth.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, okay, he's going to we're going to put it under the pillow. And, okay. And we do. And once again, my wife and I completely forget.
Yeah.
And we're like, shit, what do we do? Oh, I know. So again, to the mailbox, we'll leave a letter in the mailbox from the Tooth Fairy saying, unfortunately, due to COVID, it wasn't safe for me to come into the house. So could you please leave the tooth in an envelope in the mailbox? And okay, so he does that. And the next night, boom, dollar coin. And so this time around, we were just like, okay, COVID's still happening. We're just going to put the tooth right in the envelope and put it in the mailbox. This is genius because we don't have to wait for the kids to go to sleep even. You know, just like they put the thing in there, and then while they're, you know, putting their pajamas on, we're like, trade, boom, done. It's done. We don't have to forget.
And you don't have to, like, try to sneak in and not wake them up.
Exactly. You know, because the worst thing is when you sneak in and, like, you get the door cracked open and you creep over to their bed, and then they're like, Papa, what is it? And you're like, fuck, just checking in on you, go to sleep. And then you're like, fuck, now I gotta wait another half hour to make sure they're asleep again. You know, this way is just like, nope, envelope, door, mailbox, done. But anyway, so my son, my 5-year-old son, he goes out, he's got his pajamas on, footy pajamas, and he goes outside and he puts the envelope, he writes Tooth Fairy on the envelope in his 5-year-old scrawl, which is adorable. And then he draws a picture of the tooth, which is just a square, and then he writes tooth next to it with an arrow pointing at it so you know what the square is. Adorable. Absolutely adorable.
You're saving these, right? For like when they get older.
He gets outside and he puts the envelope in the mailbox and he turns to like walk back inside and he like takes half a step in the door and then he like stops and he turns around and he announces to the night, "Tooth Fairy, I have a tooth here for you." And then he goes inside to bed.
That's real flippin' cute.
Fuck.
That's so adorable.
Fuck,
that's
it was
so cute.
My kids are adorable.
You make me
y'all.
Wish that I had encouraged more of that magical aspect with Jessa. Like, because I didn't. My daughter was born a 40-year-old woman.
Oh, yeah.
She figured out all of this was bullshit at like 6. Like, she's like, okay, so, like, I know Santa's not real. And I'm like, what do you mean? And she's like, I think it's cute that you keep that up for grandma. But, like,
seriously.
I'm just like, oh, God, 6-year-old, what's going on? Yeah.
I've done the calculations and.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, she's like, and no, I'm not going to spoil it for anybody or anything like
that.
Oh,
my God.
But let's just have conversations about what I can do for Christmas. I'm like, okay, fuck. All right. Yeah. Well, then. Yeah, so I don't have magical letters to the Tooth Fairy or anything like that, because by the time my daughter could write, she was already just like, nah. Would it be possible
to the tooth collector whom it may concern?
Right.
God damn it.
Oh, God. No, I'm serious. Keep as much of that shit as you can.
I've got pictures.
That's fair. Pictures are good.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. That's fucking adorable.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's so cute.
That's pretty sweet.
Speaking of my child and not being a child, you guys, my daughter is moving out.
Holy crap.
She went to look at a place on Wednesday, and it was pretty much perfect for her.
Mm-hmm.
And so she has a place that she will be moving into.
Nice.
I believe. I don't know. It's all up to her. She's the adult. Everything seems solid, and they're working out like moving plans and things like that. So she'll be absconding with like half of my furniture. Which I told her, I'm like, whatever furniture you need to get started, you go. I have a tiny apartment. I'll fill it as I need with whatever. So, yeah, she's getting her great-great-grandma's table and china hutch and chairs.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice, nice.
And, yeah, she's, my little girl's all grown up, moving out. Like, I can't, that's probably why I'm like, Salsa, you should keep that shit, because right now I'm going through this whole thing.
Sure, you're having all the emotions.
I'm having so many feels. Oh my god. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, I don't know what to do with this. Like, see, here's the thing, is that in my in my age group, in my social circle, I was the first person to have a kid.
Yeah.
So I don't really have anybody in my age group to look to be like, so how do you handle empty nest? Because there are people even like 10 years older than me that still aren't dealing with empty nest I associate with their parents, right? I am. And I'm just like, I don't know how to empty. So I just don't do anything. But what if my daughter needs me? No, she'll just let me know if she needs it. I don't know. God, why? Ah, like
she'll call your pager just like she did when she was 5.
That's accurate though. But yeah, like it's a bizarre feeling, you guys. Like having your daughter like move out on her own and be all adult and responsible and shit. It's weird. She's already talking about when I can come over to visit, and I'm just like, ah, weird, I don't even know. So, yeah, that's a thing. That is super a thing going on in my life. I'm having problems processing that, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, for me, like, I was an adult for a year before I got pregnant. So, like, I really haven't had a lot of time being an adult not having a Jessa, right?
Yeah.
So, like, and it's not like I don't have a Jessa anymore. It's just I don't have to consistently take her into account when I'm, like, cooking meals or figuring out bill stuff or whatever. It's like, how do you not take your child into account anymore? It's a brain trip. And I'm like, and yeah, so I'm just like, take all the furniture you need. What do you need from the kitchen? You can just have all of my things.
Do you need a mom to move in with you?
No, I'm not moving in with her.
No, I know.
let's be clear. No. Like, Jessa has definitely hit her own adult stride and needs to not live with her mom.
Yeah.
And she and I are very different people. And that's great, actually. That means I didn't raise her to be a mini-me. I feel like I won. And she is a wonderful human being. I'm going to take bonus points for that, too, because why not? Because I'm a parent and it's my right. But, yeah, like it's like we are different people and we need different places now, and that's hard to accept as a parent, but it's also the ultimate goal. Like it's the saddest achievement ever. So yeah, there's a lot of processing going on with that.
Yeah,
like it just It didn't hit, and the place that she's moving into is perfect for her.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It would not be perfect for me.
Yeah, way too many mice running around.
I mean, kind of, actually, right now. the roommate that's moving out has pet rats, I think. Mm. Rats? Mice? I don't remember. But, yeah. Rodents of that variety. So, yes, actually, there are too many of that running around. But, no, it's also just, like, it's a great 20s place to live, mm-hmm. honestly.
Yeah.
You're in your 20s
yeah.
and you're living there. I am in my 40s and not in that space anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's... I think it's going to be fantastic for her.
Good.
But I'm going through all the emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Every That's single fair. One. Confusion. Anger. Joy. Mm-hmm. Sadness. Loneliness. Freedom. I don't know. Sunshine. There's a lot. There's a lot happening there.
And rain. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's cool. Mm-hmm. And then I get the keys to my new place next week.
Yeah.
In a week, actually. I will be able to access my new apartment, and I can start moving shit in.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be fantastic.
You can go in That's and wonderful. Just pee on everything.
I mean, my plan was to first just spray, like, go in, take measurements, and then do, like, bug and mouse deterrent stuff. Because that's how I do. Like, sure. I mean, empty for a while, I don't think there's anything there, but, like, why not?
Yeah.
You know, I've got at least a couple days before I can really start moving things in anyway, so why not prep the place?
Sure.
So, yeah. I am hoping to be at least sleeping and possibly working from there by the week after.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, at least that much, and that'll be great because I will have a home.
Yay!
A home. What?
Do you know what kind of internets they have?
They have a couple different kinds. I am going to be using what is it? USI, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, they have direct wall hookups.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've heard wonderful things about them.
Mm-hmm.
And fuck Xfinity.
Also that.
No.
And fuck CenturyLink.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I am genuinely happy for you. I know that you have not been sleeping well, and this has been a source of anxiety for you, and so
yeah.
I'm...
You know, really, for months, yeah.
Right, I'm really, really happy, and I look forward to seeing a happier Jenna.
Oh, yeah. God, me too. I think everybody is. I think especially Joe and Jessa, honestly. Those two have had to deal with
definitely.
Me, like, for the
sure.
most.
For sure.
I'm pretty sure as soon as I'm no longer sleeping at Joe's, he's just going to walk around naked for a week, rubbing his dick on everything, but, you know.
I mean, he doesn't do
just
that.
Kind of
I don't do that when you're there.
Not as much as you would think.
Huh.
That's weird.
I don't know if it's like some weird, like, respect thing or something. It's kind of bizarre, but
that
yeah.
is strange.
Yeah.
I always got the feeling that, like, the moment I left, that, he, like, his clothing was a courtesy extended to me.
Mm-hmm.
For as long as the moment that I leave, I just feel like
I never had any such quality. If I had a roommate, sorry, you're gonna see what you're gonna see.
Yeah. But I think there is a difference, even if he did do that, which I'm not gonna say if he does or doesn't, but even if he did do that, like, I think there's still a difference between doing that in front of your girlfriend and doing that in the privacy of your own home.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah. So.
Should we take a break?
Sure.
Yeah. All
right. We're going to do that thing that we do. That.
We're doing Tang?
Yeah.
We're going to, like, snort it or something?
That voodoo that we do so immensely good.
Don't do voodoo. That's appropriation.
That we're gonna do that also. That witchcraft that we craft so well.
Yes, that's what witchcraft was missing, Salsa. A white man's opinion.
I'm going to go pray for your souls. It'll be fine.
We're going to take a break.
I'm not going to pray for your souls.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Not all who wander are lost, but we're definitely lost. And oh. I don't.
But you can be both.
Yeah.
That's.
Let's not limit ourselves here, guys. We're pretty multi-talented.
And one of those talents is podcasting. We're back. I'm Salsa.
And I'm Jenna.
Nice. So, what I would like to talk about is, as part of the Give to the Max Day fundraiser that just ended last week, successfully.
Wait, pause. Yeah. I was about to say, oh my God, you guys, to everybody listening that donated, thank you.
Yes,
thank you.
It was amazing.
Oh thank my you so God, much. We did so much better so than good. We had any right to do, honestly.
And we're so grateful. We will put that money to use. I was going to say good use, but you've met us.
Well,
thankfully, it's
fearless.
Not us in charge.
I was about to
fearless
say,
is gonna
Fearless will things. Actually put yeah. it to good use.
Yes. Yeah, thankfully
we're gonna
we have
for
no
stupid things, and Fearless yeah. is going to be like, guys, no.
Yeah. Thankfully, we don't touch any of that money.
No. Yes. Correct.
Good. So there's that. And as part of the Dungeon Drawlers storyline, you know, their thermometer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our top thing was that we would do a gigantic campaign that I had been asked to DM, and this falls in line with both the group theme, Dungeon Drawlers, but also the idea of being fearless, which is that, you know, if you haven't done something and it's something you want to know, you have your opportunity to learn it. Mm-hmm. I've led games before, but I have never DM'd a traditional D&D game.
Yeah. So,
like our wrists say, yet.
Not my wrist.
So,
screw your optimism.
Yeah, that's correct.
I'm in a mood!
Yeah. But, I feel like I need to know what advice the two of you have, and what tropes I should avoid as far as players and dungeon masters and things like that. Like, I don't want to take myself too seriously. It's difficult to do that anyway, but also I do want to make sure that my players, but especially our audience, have a good time. And I've got a campaign idea that I can't share on the air, so that, you know, I don't want to spoil
reasons,
it for any of the players or for the audience.
Mm-hmm.
But I am very excited about how dumb it is.
So here's the biggest thing. As mm-hmm. someone who has DM'd in the past, although that was mm-hmm. like, what, 25, 30 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
I used to do it. Advanced Dungeons and Dragons.
Hmm.
Boom. First a story, because it's really cute. So I'm 9 years old, and I'm DMing my first kind of like test campaign mm-hmm. with a guy who's been playing D&D for fucking years. And at one point, it's still like, beats up all the monsters, and he's heading out, and he falls into a pit. And I know he has a rope and grappling hook in his inventory.
Mm-hmm.
he does not at any point think to use this.
Mm-hmm.
I also, in my grand imagination story, had some tree roots that were available. He, for whatever reason, could not figure out a way out of this goddamn pit.
Hmm.
I'm like, you have options here, buddy, and you're being stupid. And I'm 9. Let's remember, I'm 9 running this campaign. And so, like, he's like, but I just got all of this experience and gold and everything. I don't want to lose this character. And I was like, okay, look, you're real desperate here. You shouldn't be, but you are. I do have an alternative ending for this. You're not going to like it.
Yeah.
He's like, well, but I don't want this character to die. Like, I need it for this other campaign that I'm running in. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to give you one more chance to look around and try. Like, this was 45 minutes of him being in the pit.
Hmm.
Just trying to figure shit out and not, because he's dumb and possibly on something. So anyway, my childhood was weird. Anyway, so finally he's like, okay, like, I just can't figure this out. And I was like, okay, you wake up in your bedroom. It was all a dream. You're not dead. You don't have any of the treasure. I'll let you have a quarter of the experience. But, yeah. And he was like, how was I supposed to get out of there? And I'm like, bitch, you had two options. Two fucking options. Like, yeah. So anyway, but that actually brings me to the point that I think is going to be especially important for you, James, is that when you DM, when you are being a master storyteller of a world, and you have this outline of what you think this adventure is going to look like, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You are wrong. It is not going to happen the way you have it in your brain. And you cannot, you absolutely cannot stick to that storyline to the letter. You have to allow your adventurers to fuck with your plan.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I don't DM anymore, because it wigs me out. But
this is such a shock, Jenna. That bothers you? Really? What a surprise.
Huh. When people fuck with my plans, don't get me started, Salsa. But no, you have to know that you have... Basically, you can build a world, and you can build characters with motive. Like, you know... Your NPCs and your monsters can even have motives. Fuck it. Why not? You can have a villain with motives. You can have all these other things. You cannot determine how your adventurers are going to handle things.
Sure.
You provide opportunities within the story, but you can't make them take them. And if they're really good, they'll figure out something completely outside of what you have already imagined could happen in your brain, and you're just going to have to literally roll with it. Okay. But yeah, that's my biggest advice for DMing. Know your world, know your motivations, know what's where, and know that your users are going to fuck with it.
My advice, honestly, is to, you know, kind of have a storyline in your mind and then stick to it to the letter. Whatever happens.
Fucking Christ. My God, man, you are a monster.
Roll for initiative, James.
Right.
You found a monster. Oh, my God.
Ooh, natural 20. Actually
a natural 20? All right. Yeah. You all right. Through all of Salsa's bullshit.
I mean, you could have rolled a 2.
In fact, for once you're able to say something witty and cut him down, what do you say, James? What do you say, James? What's your witty cutting him down?
If you truly love nature, you will find beauty everywhere.
That's what it says. I am so wounded.
I have teabagged the monster.
I am wounded. Oh, you just pulled that quote from a teabag tab thingy.
Yes,
okay.
I did.
Okay. Oh, God. You know that teabagging has different context in other sorts of games, right? Have you ever played games before, James? Video?
Explain.
Yeah, no. Jenna, what does this mean?
No, so I'll let Jessa, when she was 10, explain that to you. God.
Yeah, I very distinctly remember having Jessa explain games to me during one of her more recent birthdays, when she was like handily beating everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, she's real fucking good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If she was like in Korea, she'd be making bank right now. Mm-hmm. Like, she's really good. Anyway, also, you had advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's no matter what happens, stick to the plan. No, I honestly, Jenna really did hit the high points there. It's just like it. I mean, it literally is improv that you really have to, when you're building your world, you know, you want to have an idea of the general skeleton of the storyline. Mm-hmm. But all of the details have to be just kind of sifted through, you know, and as long as you can steer people towards the beats, don't stress out in between, you know.
Yeah.
As long as they get from point A to point B eventually, they can go to points C through F in the meantime. As long as they get to B eventually, you're still good. You know,
I had a.
I have another thing, actually, along the lines of the improv thing.
Yeah.
Because it is very much so like improv. Mm-hmm. Here's the deal. Your adventurers are not going to choose between ketchup and mayo. They're going to choose between Heinz 57 and Heinemann.
Mm-hmm.
When you have details that are specific to what they're doing, give good detail.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because you are improvising a world with them, and every time you can give someone detail, that's a gift into the story.
Yeah.
But yeah, don't pardon me. Don't don't skimp on like detail, but don't drive the story to which details are available.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, let them be descriptive about what they're looking at.
Yes. Yeah,
describe what they're looking at.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, don't go on for half an hour about it, but instead of ketchup, it's Heinz 57.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a good note.
Yeah. It's not a sweater, it's a cardigan.
It's a ramp.
Oh, God. Shit.
Oh, God. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Please tell me you're going to put a ramp into this story somehow, some way.
I have had two people
so happy.
Ask me to put things into these, like, this adventure already, and they've been like, oh, shit, you please tell me you're going to do this, and yeah. Yeah, I'll do my best. I've been told by somebody very experienced, somebody very wise, whom I respect, that making definite plans about things is probably not my best. not my best move.
No, making definite plans is not a good thing. But that doesn't mean that you don't have homework to do, because the more time you spend thinking about and inhabiting the world, the less time you have to think about what is going to happen in the moment. You know, if you've already got the world fleshed out in your mind and spent time with the world, you know, by yourself, when things do go awry in the story, it's less about having to go, oh, okay, well, I need to improvise something here. It's like, no, I've already got the answer. You know,
yeah.
I know this world.
You already know what's behind the door.
Exactly. I know what's going to happen in this world. This is the sort of thing that would happen. And so, ta-da. Yeah. You know, so have a lot of information and detail about the world.
Sure.
And that way the story can just kind of happen naturally within that setting.
And I'm also, like, to add specifically for every character that you're putting your adventurers against, mm-hmm. know everything about those characters. Not just that they're wearing armor, but what kind of armor.
Yeah.
Not just that the wizard has a staff, but what spells are associated with it. Mm-hmm. Some of that is actually built into the structure of D&D. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
But it's there for a reason.
Yeah.
I
give your villains interesting motivations.
Yeah.
Don't just make them, you know, he's a evil wizard because he's evil. You know, because
evil is fun and good is stupid.
If you can give them interesting, interesting motivations and backstories, and mm-hmm. you know, I mean, if you make every bad guy a sympathetic character, then that becomes boring, also. So mm-hmm. you know, don't overdo it, obviously. But if they're interesting, if you know, throw a few twists in there. You know, throw a twist in there. Make a good guy that's a bad guy and a bad guy that's a good guy. Put things like that in there.
Know why your evil wizard is a Trump supporter.
Whoa.
I mean, he still needs to be taken down. But knowing why is... Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, please don't make a Trump supporter villain.
Mm-hmm. It's too much. It's a lot of planning and homework, which is why I don't DM mm-hmm. anymore.
Well,
yeah,
and
also I'm lazy.
With other systems that I've used, I've been able to do more of the, like, I know what happens at point A at the beginning of the adventure, and I have a rough idea of the possible endings that can happen. But what happens between those two points, I am going to let the characters and their players drive that action forward. Mm-hmm. And it's led me to some very weird, very interesting places. Because, like, even in the adventure that I'm playing with a group of friends, I've made a character that I think is hilarious.
Oh, God.
Based on something. Anyway,
I have concerns already. Continue.
But watching these rooms that are built as traps and things like that, watching people solve them very quickly, or just like you two said, fucking fail to solve the room completely and just fail to thrive. I've in this adventure, in this, like, one room that you were like, oh, okay, they'll get it. They need, it's got the symbol on the wall. They have to use this tool to do the thing. But then having them try absolutely everything else, those stories tell me that they're always going to think of something that I didn't.
Yeah. Which is where the fun is.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely.
I was playing. I wasn't DMing this one. I was playing. This was a game 20 years ago, wherein the backstory of my character was that my family had been killed by dwarves when I was just a wee lad.
Okay.
And so.
So your character was racist.
Well, I mean, it's D&D.
Sure.
But so we were in this, you know, area. We stumbled upon this subterranean dwarven bathhouse, you know, mm-hmm. and there's statues of dwarves, like, not naked, but there's statues
sure.
of dwarves, and you know, we're kind of going through, And, you know, the DM is kind of dealing with this person and dealing with what this person's doing. And this person's like, I'm looking for traps. And then I suddenly go, I pull out my sword and I attack the statue. And yeah. He looks at me for a second. And then he blinks and his eyes get wide. And he goes, oh. And so, like, suddenly that was the focus. And we played that out. And my character went insane. My character went, this was the straw that broke my camel's back, and something snapped.
That poor camel.
Yeah, I know, right?
The back of your camel's brain.
That metaphor was broken just as bad as the camel's back. But my character's brain just, like that was it. And so for the rest of the game, I was completely off kilter. And unpredictable, and it threw all of his ideas out the window. Because all of the traps and puzzles and stuff that he had just were useless and pointless, because I wasn't doing anything that a normal person would do. You know, and so he... Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a good DM, and he was able to adapt to that quickly and figure out. But there was, you know, there was one point where it was like we stumble upon these like runes on the wall, and we're just like, we look at the runes and we're like, can we read them? And he's like, you can't decipher the runes. We're like, okay, and we keep going, and he was just like.
But
you, okay.
They're very mysterious. Oh.
Yeah, exactly. We just walked, no. Can't be bothered.
Yeah.
And that is another thing is you will spend a lot of time world building, and they will trample through your world. They will run roughshod over everything you hold dear and hold up its beating heart and chew on it.
What is it that they say at Huge? You have to let your babies die?
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah, same thing.
For example, in a recent campaign that I was playing, we found ourselves in a dungeon. Shock.
What?
I know. And it was filled with, and still is, like, our characters are still in that dungeon, but it's filled with cunning traps and, you know, that kind of thing. And one of the rooms just had a carpet on the floor. And by an extraordinary coincidence, we ended up finding out that it was a living carpet that crushes anything that touches it. It like wraps around it like a constrictor and then chokes the life out of it.
Oh my God.
And it's incredibly strong. And if it gets a hold of someone, like the worst part about this is that if there's an adventurer trapped inside being crushed to death and smothered, that attacking the carpet will also deal damage to the person.
Oh, that's quite the mob.
Right.
Yeah, that's a fun little thing, yeah.
We ended up tricking it into coiling up on its own in a way that we controlled, and then tied some vines from a previous room around it, and just like... Now we have in our possession this still living monster carpet, and... It took us two moves and is just like
you didn't try to unravel its mysteries.
No,
Hannah,
no.
Was that a pun?
I know.
No, you shut your whore mouth. It was not.
It never happened.
Clever wordplay.
No, that was clearly me doing a Jenna voice.
2020 has been a hard year, bitches.
I've led campaigns in other systems where I have players that are just like dead set on doing something. And the lesson that I've learned is let them.
Yep.
but then make them regret it.
Ooh.
You are not their friend.
No.
No.
Yeah. I mean, I am, but
don't,
also...
Don't lose friends, but you are not their friend.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, the most important thing is it's got to be fun.
Yeah.
If it's not fun, then you're doing it wrong.
Have is I led a really simple campaign through an Alice in Wonderland world.
Oh.
And a friend had... He picked a character that was like a mechanical gremlin who was super good at disassembling things and then putting them back together in different and very helpful ways. And he kept looking for spare parts. But it's an Alice in Wonderland world.
Mm-hmm.
So he's constantly approaching things and then finding out that they're alive.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, he's just like, I want to take apart these doorknobs for spare parts. And I'm like, all right, do this thing to check if you're successful. And he was successful, but not very successful. So I said, you do take it apart, and it screams the entire time. You didn't get any really useful pieces. It's just a handful of, like, doorknob organs. Nothing mechanical.
Did he make haggis?
And he was traumatized by this. Right, doorknob haggis would have been
that's
a great
my new
move.
Led Zeppelin cover band.
That's a Frank Zappa album, Doorknob Haggis.
That's like Gaelic Storm cover band.
I don't necessarily have that like locked up, especially the people that I'm going to be playing with are friends from Fearless, and they are at least as inventive as everyone else, but then they're on top of that, they're performers.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's going to be that additional dimension to everything. But yeah, letting people do what they insist on doing, warning them once, like finding a way, because he had tried to disassemble something, he had tried to disassemble a few things before that, but like one of them was a megaphone that looked like a flower sticking out of a wall. Yeah, and he failed at that, and it snapped at him because it was like a Venus flytrap, basically, that was a megaphone.
Mm.
Warn them once and then let them do what they insist on doing.
Sure.
And
right.
Let them have the consequences.
Consequences, schmonsequences.
Yeah. Well, I had a campaign where somebody was following a magic nail through the woods and it dropped into the water, and they were like, oh, I reach into the water to grab it. And like my heart skipped. I was like, oh my God, this is it. Because before that, it was just the party and they hadn't encountered any monsters or any traps or like they had encountered some difficulty and things like that. But it's just like, yeah, I jammed my hand in the lake to grab the nail. And I see the look cross his face as he and I lock eyes and he recognizes.
You done fucked up.
Yeah, you put the hand in the bag without checking it. That's, you can't, you gotta, yeah. So I'm hopeful that experience will lend itself well to this.
It's the same thing, just a different system. You'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
I think the difficulty for me with this, in addition to just knowing what people, what they should roll and, you know, how that all shakes out.
Yeah.
I think the difficulty for me is going to be in telling the story with those things in mind.
Mm.
You know, whether, because I know in other systems, if I put them in an interesting place, they're going to want to check it out. They're going to want to look for treasure. They're going to want to find doors. They're going to want to search for traps and all of that stuff. And I think the trouble here is going to be like, I can't just tell them to roll a D6. I can't just tell them to draw a card. I have to know roll investigation.
Right,
roll
but here's
stealth,
here's
roll.
Here's the big secret, James. Do you? Like the thing is yes, we have all of these different game systems, but that's all it is a system. It's yeah. it's a framework for helping you move along.
Yeah.
You don't have to follow the rules at all. you know,
this is the other reason why I don't do DMing anymore.
if it behooves you, if it betters the story,
mm-hmm.
to flub a number, for example, who's gonna know? You know, it
mm-hmm.
like if you're like, I've got this great idea, and you mm-hmm. you know, they roll a bad roll or something, but they're one off, you can kind of go, no, you succeeded. You know,
you snuck up on him.
And I mean, obviously you don't want to completely throw the rules out, that because everybody has a kind of an understanding that there are rules, and if you throw the rules out, that's no fun either. But but sometimes you need to just scrub things just a little bit, and if you mess up a little bit in your DMing and you roll the wrong dice, at the end of the day, who fucking cares, as long as they have a good time.
Fair enough.
Don't stress yourself out about the game mechanics.
Again, that's why I don't DM anymore.
Yeah. dear listeners,
there's a process.
Dear listeners, if you have advice for James in DMing, specifically,
or anything,
D&D,
if you have any advice,
if you
for
have
James,
advice for James,
general,
oh, we're gonna get a flood of messages.
good.
No, and especially people.
I need it.
especially people who have GM'd in more than one. System. If there is something specific that you can think of that can mm-hmm. get James in the right mindset specifically for D&D, by all means, we would absolutely love to hear you put your comments in the on the Facebook, and James will absolutely see it. Otherwise, we're gonna take a break.
Woo!
Roll for it.
And I roll up. Yes, we are gonna take a break.
Nice.
Well played.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
Hey baby, wanna see my bathroom hardware?
No, but our listeners might. We're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
Oh,
she's got.
And I have bathroom hardware.
Should see the faucets.
Oil rubbed bronze bathroom
I'd
hardware.
Tap that.
You guys, this is really shitty.
She's got amazing knobs.
She looks a little flushed.
Oh, shit. I think it's time for a fast five.
Fast five. Thank God, because right now we're only talking about one and two.
Sometimes three.
Whoa,
that's what
buddy.
Takes the time.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from... Oh, this is not going to get any better. Today's Fast Five comes to us from Mav.
Yay, Mav!
Yay, Mav!
Email number one. Really fast five. Really fast. Fast five. Number one. Hello, peeps. Need some fast fives? I got your fast fives right here.
Whoa.
Okay, not sure hardware. What exactly I was going for, since this really isn't a visual thing. Anyway, let's let it go, shall we? Or let's get to it, shall we? I can't read. Question number one.
Yee.
Loose or fashion?
How do you dress for the day?
Loose.
I dress in a fashion, but I think it would probably be called loose.
I like things that do both fashion and function.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me. Saw that doctor fix it. Like, I'm wearing a sweater. Sweaters are both comfortable and proper for general outdoor usage.
Nice.
I wouldn't know fashion if it hit me with a crowbar.
It did.
I still don't know it.
Salsa and I have a very similar taste in clothing that we wear. We wear a t-shirt with a hoodie and maybe a button-up, and then Duluth Trading Company pants, sport socks, and boots. That's about it.
Pretty much.
I'm a jeans and sweater person, but like I try to pick sweaters that, you know, look good. I don't look good in dress pants. Dress pants do not fit me right. I get either camel toe or the weird folds in the crotch or the whatever. Sure. Like, they're not made to cover my butt.
I
got a pretty nice butt, but it's a pretty big butt. I got all that junk in my trunk, yo.
And in a professional setting, you need to keep that junk at home.
Yeah. You need to keep that trunk locked.
Yep.
The other thing is, like, so I was talking to my boss, who is way more upper management than previous managers that I've had, right? Mm-hmm. And one of my questions for him when I was interviewing was, it's 2020. We're all working from home. What are you wearing? Like, what kind of dress code are you applying to yourself? And he was like, it's really funny you mention that, because I come from a different kind of environment than the tech industry. So my first couple of days, like in the office proper, I kept showing up with like ties and getting mocked for it. I'm like, jeans and sweater, honey, that's all you need. He's like, well, I think I've figured it out now, but like, this is weird.
He was like,
oh, sweetie.
He was like, those first few days at home, I wore a tie just because I could.
I think so. He's like, but now it's 2020, and I just put on a baseball cap and go. It's fine. I'm like, yeah.
And nothing else. But yeah, I would go with loose.
Loose.
I'm going to go fashion.
Okay.
Nice.
Question number two. Flashy or solid? I prefer clothing that's solid colors rather than flashy colors.
Would I rather have a meal that is super flashy and like has truffle oil and all kinds of herbs and
leaf,
you know, and
herbs.
Yeah, because there's an H in it.
Thank you.
Or would I rather just have like a solid meat, potatoes, vegetables? I would go with a solid meal every time. I tend to prefer basic staple food way more than...
Yeah, but James, flashy meals are usually tiny.
Yeah, that's the other problem. Is the one place...
You love tiny things, James.
I do. But then...
Look,
I have to have
a tiny
so
meal is adorable, but it's not filling.
Right, and the other thing is, if it's too cute, I'm going to have trouble eating it.
Aww. You looked just like Tom Haverford in your facial expressions when you did that. And you sounded kind of like him, too, and now I'm concerned.
Legitimate.
Yep, okay. Okay, so here's the thing. I miss going out for fancy meals. And I am incredibly lucky that Joe is such an amazing cook. But I still miss him and I being able to go out to like a sushi restaurant that doesn't exist anymore or whatever.
Yeah.
And just to have us be served something fancy and nice. And yeah, I miss it. Like we get fancy meats and things for eating here, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
So I think, God, I think we've been doing a good mix of solid versus fancy foods here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, getting right down to it, I think I've got to go solid, though. I would rather have some goulash or some praties or, yeah, something hefty, something hearty.
A pasty.
You're a pasty. See, but like...
That would be the nicest thing you've ever said to me or anyone.
Actually, this is accurate. Except for Jess, I've said way nicer things.
Well,
to Jess,
that's true. Yeah, that's very true.
May have said nicer things to Joe, but I wouldn't count on it. No, but like going to Merlin's and having their pasty.
Yeah.
Oh, see, that's the thing. Like, oh, I miss the Merlin's pasty.
I know what I know what I need to eat this week. I think that's going to be a Black Friday meal.
Yeah?
Pasties? Yeah. Food from Merlin's. Either that or George and the Dragon.
Oh, God, I miss George and the Dragon.
George and the Dragon. Dun,
dun, their dun, Asian dun. Hangover is so good.
Question number three. Squash or fruit? I prefer fruit pies to pumpkin pies.
I was going to say, which is the better cold soup?
Oh. Still squash. Still squash for me.
And I think I'm going to have to go fruit either way.
Fruit soup?
I love fruit. It's basically a smoothie.
Smoothie
is called fruit soup.
I know, but is fruit soup a thing at all?
I think it might be.
Kind of.
Yeah.
A tomato is a fruit.
I'm legitimately trying to think of one, and I...
Gazpacho, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I have to go squash. I'm way more savory. Yep, savory. I don't smell sweet right now.
Oh, God.
Question number four. Big or small?
Small.
Big.
Tiny things.
I am moving into a tiny apartment, so I'm going to go tiny.
Question number.
You're going to think it's so cute. You're going to think my kitchen is adorable.
You'll have to give us the nickel tour.
Question number
five. Or will
five.
We get money back?
Right.
Naughty or nice? Naughty.
Why can't it be both?
Or because they're diametric opposites?
No.
Sometimes being
naughty is nice.
Ooh.
I'm willing to believe in a world that has complex moral features. Yeah.
Weirdo.
And ambiguities, yeah. I in in a video game, given the choice to, you know, kill and steal and all of that stuff, I'll still choose to help people. And
like, I was about to say, how did you play BioShock?
Right.
Yeah.
Nice.
I tried playing Fable as a bad guy, and I couldn't.
Yeah.
Aww.
Because it's just so awful.
It really, like, I was just like, I know this is the decision you want me to make, but I, ugh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to.
I had to stop. All right.
Yeah, I'm going nice.
Okay. That wraps up the first email, and now we open up the email that says, Really Fast Fast 5, number 7.
Nice.
Oh my god.
I love you, Mav.
Well played.
Oh, Mav.
Question number one, loose or fashion? Thanksgiving is fast approaching. With that in mind, will you be preparing by digging out those loose-fitting clothes that are more comfortable with that amazing meal, or will you be going for the more fashionable look and suffer?
See, I'm not actually doing anything for Thanksgiving, other than, like, getting ready for my move. So, I guess I'm just wearing what I normally wear. So, fashion? Not going any looser, I suppose, is the moral there.
I'm wearing what I always wear, and that's loose.
Yeah. Salsa's pants are already prepared to accommodate large meals.
Yeah, that's because they're on the floor. You think All right. I've been wearing pants this whole time?
I have no illusions.
I was pretending.
Question number two, flashy or solid? After Thanksgiving, of course it's Christmas. No offense to those who don't celebrate. With Christmas, again, no offense, comes those wonderful lights and decorations. Do you prefer the flashy lights and decor, or do you like the more solid, not overly fancy ones?
Solid. I love a classy-ass Christmas setup. One of the things I've been doing to keep relatively sane during COVID is taking drives around the lake. Just to, you know, get some of that lake view type thing going. And the last drive I took around the lakes was about a week ago, and somebody in one of the big fancy mansions was setting up their Christmas lights. And it was solid yellow and are very artistically wrapped around everything, and there were garlands and big red bows, and it was very, very classy looking, and I was like, oh, I love you. Nice. And it was reflecting off the lake, which was also delightful. Right? When I got to the other side of the lake. But yeah. It was lovely.
Yeah.
So, yep, solid for me.
Growing up, I would spend time at Charles's parents' house, Charles' best friend, former landlord. And he had a neighbor who just went like full Minneapolis airport on their Christmas decorations, and it was awful. And I would never want to do that to neighbors. And usually, like, there are simple things that you can do that are way more pleasant, but my favorite exterior, you know, Christmas house memories are approaching the first house that we lived in with just a string of lights around the eaves of the house, and then the Christmas tree lit up in the window, and like snow on the roof, and just like, it's gorgeous.
I do have to give a shout out here. There was a neighborhood I lived in a few years back, over by Duck, actually. And there is one of the first things I learned about when moving into that neighborhood was a specific house in that four-block radius.
Oh, God.
That I nicknamed the Inflata House.
Yeah.
Because not just for Christmas, but every fucking holiday you could ever think of, this house covered their lawn.
Even for World Sword Swallowers Day?
Probably, actually. Covered their lawn in inflatable decor.
Yeah.
It was impressive. It was so impressive. Until you got to halfway through the day when things were only like partially inflated and you had a really sad Santa just kind of lying on the lawn. But like, I mean, good for them. Live your life, whatever. But buddy.
One of those half inflated decorations is definitely one of the funnier things that's happened in my life. They had one of those inflatable decoration pumpkins with the three ghosts popping out of it.
Oh, yeah?
It was on top of a Burger King, and they had not prepared for the high winds. And the winds were, like, pushing the air out of it. And so then what they had not realized is that a half-inflated jack-o'-lantern with three ghosts just looks like three ghosts running a train on each other. And the problem, like the little inflation thing, would try to fight back against it, and the wind would ease up. So it was just like,
oh my god, oh
my god! It was like, and they had their arms stretched out too, and so the arms would deflate and get blown in the wind. So they were like going at it and smacking each other's nose asses and everything.
Yeah. Oh god.
Fuck, it was so good. Yes.
Oh god.
See, treasured memory.
If I had my druthers, the Christmas tree would go up a week before Christmas and would be taken down the day after, and maybe a wreath hung in our door.
But how are you going to have a President's Day tree and a Valentine's Day tree and an Easter tree?
And then the day after Christmas, I take that wood and I burn it.
Now you can turn it into stools and bowls and railings.
Actually,
I did take...
I've started a new tradition. I chopped off a chunk of the base of the tree and I turned a little mini Christmas tree with it. And then the kids painted it. And so every year I have last year's Christmas tree, little painted Christmas tree.
That's such a good idea. I just imagined you like hauling the tree full of decorations out the garage door and having them be like, but Dad, where are you taking me? Being like, are you kidding me? This is Douglas fir. We can't waste it.
So you are correct, James.
Yes. Good. Mm-hmm. All right.
So solid?
Yeah.
Question number three, squash or fruit? And back to Thanksgiving. The pie at the end of... Oh, yeah, called it pie at the end of the meal.
Good call.
I know my pie.
Yes, you do.
Pie is the most crucial piece of any Thanksgiving meal. Do you prefer a squash pie, like pumpkin or honey spaghetti squash pie, or a fruit pie, like apple or peach cobbler?
Or cherry. Or triple berry, which are my preferred pies. But yes, fruit pies.
I mean, you have glossed over the obviously superior pie, which is pecan. But slightly under that would definitely be the fruit pies.
Yeah, fruit pies.
Oh, okay.
I have ideas for next Pie Day. Even if there is no Pie Day, I am making these things, and I will be sending you some.
Nom, nom, nom.
Yeah.
It's happening. Anyway.
James?
Oh, I said squash, pie, always. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't hear you.
I missed it.
No,
yeah, I didn't either.
No, that's just fine.
Question number four.
I was probably talking over you.
Mm-hmm.
Like I do all the time.
Who does that?
Me?
Who said that?
And salsa?
Question number four, big or small? Stop giggling, Jenna.
God damn it. Oh, I feel so called out. Son of a bitch.
This is another Thanksgiving question. Big turkey or small turkey?
Big and leftovers. Oh, my God.
I mean, ham.
Yeah.
But if you gotta have a turkey, then might as well go big.
I only eat ham as a tradition with those that I celebrate Thanksgiving with. I am not a ham person in general.
Oh, I prefer ham to turkey, hands down. Every week.
love
Hams
having
down.
I love leftover turkey, specifically for like sandwiches and turkey salads and shit like that. Oh my god, yes.
Nice.
Turkey. Turkey, 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 and big so that there are many leftovers.
Give me yeah. that salty pork ass.
When
pork ass.
When I was a boy and dinosaurs roamed the earth, I
aren't you the youngest one on this podcast?
I meant what I said. After the Thanksgiving turkey bonanza, my dad would take the turkey carcass and would make soup.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And with like whole peppercorns and vegetables and all
well,
of
yeah.
everything.
My,
and just, like,
my
make
grandma would
Thanksgiving
do that,
dinner
and
soup.
I hated
yeah.
that too.
Oh no, I loved it for two reasons. One, because it would stay frozen until Christmas Eve, and that would be the centerpiece of our Christmas Eve dinner. But then the other thing was is like my one of the things that I very fondly remember about it is that he didn't always get all of the peppercorns fished out.
Surprise peppercorn!
Right, and so it was a lot like the king cake. You know,
the omen in the cake or the coin,
right? Yeah, because you would just watch somebody blanch as they as they started. Like they would get a spoon of broth, vegetables, and meat, and then they would just like go at it, and then just like,
you win the prize.
James, that was the most delightfully Minnesotan spicy reaction I have ever seen.
Right. Also, black yeah. pepper. Oh.
No.
Boy, that's spicy, y'all.
I know. Which is one of the reasons that I say, oh, like ketchup spicy or like pepper spicy.
Oh.
I can't complain. That is entirely
I've
mean,
told
but...
y'all the story about Angela at Die Laughing a few years ago, right?
I don't think
Angela
so.
Maybe
comes,
not.
Angela comes back from this is during Die Laughing. Angela comes back mm-hmm. from Uptown Diner mm-hmm. and is and she's eating and I'm eating nearby and she goes, "Oh, this ketchup has got a kick to it."
Oh, honey.
And I turn to her and I go, "That may be the most Minnesotan thing I have ever heard in my life." And she's like, "No, Uptown Diner like puts spices in their ketchup." And I'm like, "I know, I get it, but still, most Minnesotan thing I have ever heard in my life."
Oh.
Oh my goodness. Fuck.
Yeah, it was coming from Angela yeah. was even more adorable.
Well, and even now that my family does turkey loaf, and I will be doing turkey loaf this year by you know, just for my household, we get two of those for every four people because it's way more than you're going to want in one meal, and it ensures that you will have leftovers.
Fair.
Yeah, no, like my wife will occasionally get turkey dogs, and I won't touch them.
That's fair. Those are
turkey dogs are not
punishment.
All right, question number five: naughty or nice? What list do you expect to not be on this year?
Oh, we all said nice, and I think we're all correct.
I said naughty.
Hmm. Oh, well, then you're incorrect.
No, I'll be on the nice list. I'm a nice guy.
Oh God. The phrase "nice guy" is problematic.
That's okay. That is fair.
I don't.
That's a hard question because I've also told a lot of dick jokes this year, and always.
Were they nice dick jokes?
Some of them.
Well,
I've got a story for you, friends.
That's,
after
that
the podcast,
is Jenna is right. If you tell a joke and somebody goes "nice," then you're fine.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're covered.
So I'm probably still on the naughty list, but whatever. I've accepted this.
All right, Mav wraps this up by saying, "Okay, Jenna, you can now giggle about the big or small question again." James? You can do it too if it makes you happy. There we go. Mav continues. It looks like more Fast Fives from me in the near future. Some that are more well thought out, and possibly even some brain twisters. It's been a while since I'd sent one of these. And he sent this a week ago and still hasn't sent those soon. So,
lies.
Mud, you know what must be done.
Till then, have fun. Also, Mud sends Fast Fives. Till then, have fun, stay safe, and I hope to see you all again in person very, very soon. Aww. Much love, aww, hugs, and emotions and stuff. Mav. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send two emails to salsa@a1podcast.com. The first one should include nothing but the choices, and the second one, repeat those choices, and then give us the context. And we need some more, so send those.
Yes, please.
Who has a shout-out?
I do. My shout-out is simply to Merit, and they know what they did.
Okay.
Right. I can't actually talk about it. I think it would make Merit uncomfortable, but they know what they did.
No, that's fair.
Salsa?
I'm going to give my shout-out to my son for being an absolute rock star when I yanked a tooth out of his face.
Fair enough. I am going to give my shout-out to the author Jenny Lawson for writing a book called Furiously Happy, which I've been listening to while doing chores and home improvement projects, and it's real great. It's very funny and very insightful.
All right.
So there's that.
All right.
Yay.
All right. Does anybody have something to plug?
I do. Vilification Tennis is doing their Vil 10 Works From Home show.
Oh, buddy.
Black Friday night.
Oof.
And just looking at the lineup, it's pretty well guaranteed to not include me, so it's got to be good.
Aw.
That's... no, it like legitimately, it looks amazing, and I am... very, very excited about this. So I'm also aware of the structures and things that they're going to be doing, and it's just real fucking great. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I'm going to plug, once again, Sterlingcraft. It's, like I said, it's not a store. It's not like you can order something and it'll arrive 5 days later or anything like that. It's just me putting things up there for a nominal price, just because hobbies aren't free, and the more money I can, you know, collect giving these things to a good home means more hobbies I can do.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's more of a tell me if you're interested and then message me and we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, check it out. Like I said, not a lot there. There will be more stuff soon, but there'll probably never be like a ton of stuff, because it's just one guy making stuff for fun.
Sure. So.
Mm-hmm.
Any final thoughts?
Yes, I would like to say bye-bye, I love you, bye-bye-bye.
In that case, thank you so very much to everybody who is listening to this thing. Thank you to Mav for sending in that Fast Five. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.